and welcome now to our second episode of our Berlin Electrolyzer podcast. With us today is Stefan Reimelt. Hello, Stefan.
Hi, Bernd.
And Bruno Pollet, of course, our chairman, and for this podcast, interviewing Stefan Reimelt today. And I'm very happy now that we are going to talk a bit about Bloom Energy, which Stefan is working for in Europe now as a senior advisor. Before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit with Bruno about his new position, which is very interesting. News came in last week or 2 weeks ago that you are currently a new member appointed of the Council of Engineers for the Energy Transition. Bruno, can you tell us a little bit about the CEET? What is that and what are you doing there?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, Bernd. And it's been a very good news in that respect. So the CEET is the Council of Engineers for the Energy Transition, which is actually an independent advisory council to the United Nations Secretary General. And the CEET is actually a globally diverse, high level of body of engineers on energy system experts to contribute to the Secretary General's goal to build a coalition to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. So a lot of challenges here. It is also to support the United Nations work on engineering pathway to achieve comprehensive decarbonization by mid-century. So we are around 38 engineers here. We keep recruiting at present, or we want to grow that area in order to actually provide solutions to this very crucial time in our history.
That sounds very interesting. For how long are you going to be in this CEET?
So this appointment is actually for 12 months, and she's obviously going to be renewed, if I wanted to. But let's start with the 12 months. Let's see how it pans out. We have a lot of challenges. The time is against us, so we need to provide solutions ASAP.
So a very great thing. So I really wish you all the best for this position, and it's a really important task that you are doing here. And yes. Yeah. So now I think we can come to our guest today, Stefan Reimelt. Stefan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Stefan Reimelt. I'm a German. I was an executive board member for several large engineering companies like MAN and Logi. I'm coming out of the family business, and I joined in 2011 GE as the head of Germany, and later on being promoted to head of Europe. It was a fantastic time, and besides this, I'm a professor at the largest university of Germany in Berlin, at the Technical University. So I'm now serving Bloom Energy as a senior advisor, and our task is, of course, to conquer the European market, which we are making really progress. So I'm very happy to be on this podcast.
Great. That's fantastic news. So I guess I'm going to ask the first questions here. And once again, thank you very much for really accepting to talk to us and to talk to really to the community, which is very important, and to the industry. So my first question to you is, could you please talk about the current German EU market dynamics? Where are we at the moment? Obviously, we have this crisis in the Ukraine. Please, can you elaborate on this point?
Well, I think I'm not a politician, but nevertheless, I think we have a kind of crisis situation. Actually, today, the second level of our alarm in regards to the gas supply has been raised by the Ministry of Economy and Infrastructure. So, yes, it's a very difficult situation. We are very dependent on Russian gas, and I think we have to, get more quicker, develop the market much faster in order to get in more independent. At the same time, we have decided in Germany that we would like to get out of nuclear, which is decided we only have 3 nuclear power stations in operations. And we also decided to get out of coal. So this is a bundle of tasks which are really big. And this combined with the situation in Ukraine, it's a very volatile environment in which we are presently. But having said that, it is fair to say that the energy market was always a volatile environment, because the biggest driver for volatility has been in the past also the regulator. So Germany is on one side used to live with certain volatilities, but at the moment it is quite a huge challenge.
Yes, I think you're very right. I think Germany has taken this challenge pretty seriously here. So, in your viewpoints, Do you think that that hydrogen is the solution to this crisis, or do you think?
It's fairly to say that there is not one shot. There is not one solution. You know, we have the heat market, we have the electricity market. We are very decentralized, so we have a large decentralized fleet. We have a lot of renewable already in our grid, meaning offshore and onshore and photovoltaic. We don't have a real complete grid, which of course brings challenges to us. And then, of course, you know, with having said that, we have a lot of what we would call partial interests. You know, we have a couple of big grid providers, and we have a lot of independent small utilities. We have over 1,000 utilities who are running our energy market. And I would say the sum of partial interests will not lead to a solution which we need now. I think we are at a turning point where I think we have to do something drastic, and we have to do something fast. And hydrogen will play a major role. But I think just assume for a time being, for a moment, how long it will take till we are able to replace 1 gigawatt, which is nothing, out of our present installed fleet with hydrogen. And what kind of investments we are talking, what kind of financial procedures and what kind of development we have to do in order to get these projects not only being built, but getting these, you know, being developed, being integrated, and being presenting a complete energy solution. I think, you know, we very often out of the politicians get the question, how long does it take to build the plant? And as the head of GE, I was always saying, well, we can build your plant in 12 to 18 months. That's not the challenge. And that's not the question. Tell me how long you take to get me the permits. That is the challenge sometimes here. Sure. And I would say, you know, we have to look that very realistic. Hydrogen will play a fantastic role because the high volatility in our grid needs storage and needs storage capabilities. And I think hydrogen can play there a great, great role.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So in terms of your company, in terms of, you know, Bloom, where do you see yourself in that big, really market here?
I have to really admit that I'm total excited about Bloom's capability from a technical point at first. And unfortunately or fortunately, Bloom, you know, being focused in the last development in the last decade in the North American market, coming now with a product and with references and with capabilities on the European market, which are unheard. And I think, you know, one of my biggest challenges is to promote FOFC and FOFC technology, because the high temperature solid oxide fuel technology is not really very common. And there's a lot of stories about it. It's not flexible. It doesn't get the. Well, you know, we have 30,000 modulars commercially operational. We have over 6 million stacks commercially operational, which we monitor every day. We have a digital twin to look at it. So the capabilities which we bring to the market, the reference installation, and our two manufacturing places, which each can produce a gigawatt of fuel cells or electrolyzers, are unheard, are seriously unheard. And if I combine that and compare that then with the available technology in regards to PREM and in regards to alkali solutions, we are years ahead. Seriously, years ahead by guarantee the performance in regards to reliability, by guarantee high efficiency outcome in regards to our electrolyzer, which exceeds definitely 10 to 20% of all the other technologies. When we talk about leverage cost of energy, we're playing in a different field.
Yes, you're right. And I think, you know, in terms of high temperature electrolyzers on fuel cells, there's actually a big advantage in that market, which is huge. Absolutely. And I would see actually this, for example, high temperature electrolysis in niche market, in niche industry, where you get, for example, waste heat, you know, that waste could be reutilized to actually, you know, provide your hydrogen and so on and so forth. So if we actually try to dive in now into the technology, can you please explain to our listeners in terms of the difference between SOECs and you know, so high temperature electrolyzers and low temperature electrolyzers? What can you see actually the main
advantages? It's a thermodynamic process, which is in our stack. And we have developed quite sufficiently a cell a stack and a modeler, and out of the modeler we build a system. We completely standardized the stack, and the modeler are the same for the electrolyzer as well as for the fuel cell, just reverse. And having said that, that gives us a lot of scalability in our technology and a lot of reference points. So for us, this is not a new technology. We are at our fifth generation. And of course, it's a very complex procedure and process. But with our experience, you know, we are able to do two things. At first, we are reaching a very high conversion rate when it comes from power to hydrogen. And, you know, giving you some numbers, 39 kilowatt hours per kilogram, if we use steam, is huge. And compare that with when we have no steam, we're still at 46 kilowatt hours per hour without with water. And this is a different ballgame, number one. And when we talk about, and by the way, this is what we guarantee over the life cycle of the product, meaning over 20 years.
Wow.
And same thing is, and that also we guarantee with an availability of 99.98%. So what I'm saying on one side is when I take a fuel cell or electrolyzer, we have a high efficiency rate of 63 to 64%. We guarantee 54% over the life cycle. We also have, of course, the heat, which we do a heat conversion with absorption chilling and come to electric system, which I think is not used in the States, but here in Europe, we are having, so to speak, a high efficiency rate. So what I'm saying at the moment, we have a really hunting product here, which we have to integrate. And the challenge now in Europe is to integrate it into an overall system. And here we are looking and working with partners. So our job is that we as Bloom are building the most efficient, you know, fuel cell, which is available with the largest installed base. Our installed base is bigger than all the competition together. And the same thing comes on the electrolyzer. And having said that, we need now partners with whom we then do the balance of plant. That's not our expertise. We are a global company. So we're looking for European partners with whom we are integrating these systems into an electric or into an overall energy solution system.
This is fantastic. Actually, this is something I was not aware of, I must say, because as you know, that in this current market, we always talk about low temperature electrolyzers, right? So you are always have the big boys, as I call them, and trying to flog the technology in different markets. But yes, this, you know, when you're talking about 39 kilowatt hour per kilogram with steam input and 46 kilowatt hour per kilogram with water input, this is a game changer for sure.
It is not only a game changer. The second thing is it is completely modular. So most of the clients, let's take, for example, a typical client where you need a lot of electricity and less heat. Take the data center. It's the fastest growing market at the moment in Europe, maybe even worldwide. To build a data center, you start to build the building and then use over years filling up the data center. Now we can start to build, so for example, 3 megawatt at the beginning and then add just modular after modular till he's up to a 30 megawatt. So we can, so to speak, build as they grow. So the energy source, which we're used to do, is you need to install the entire energy space, which you require maybe in 4 years. Now we can grow with you. You can start with 1 megawatt and electrolyzer and we build you 100 megawatt. On top of it, you know, we have designed the tower solution, which we have now built in Korea. First time, by the way, Korea is at the moment one of our top market. We have a long-term contract with SK, which is approximately over the next couple of years, 4 billion in order to build electrolyzers and fuel cells for the Korean market. But here we designed a tower so we can build them over several floors. And again, we add floor as they need it. And this modular technology has two major impacts. Impact number one is through scaling, we can reduce cost. And we are same like in the chip industry, same like we saw even in renewable industry, in the wind industry. When we started, you know, with 1 megawatt wind turbine, now we had 5 and even on offshore, we had 15. We see that the leverage cost of energy is reduced. That's one of our games. And Bloom is really laser focusing on that structure, because I think we want to get our cost down. And we believe that between 10 to 20% cost reduction every year is capable. We have shown that in the past. Of course, in this very volatile environment where supply chain is hitting us at the moment, we are not there. But in regards to next year and the year after next year, we are very well. We have two manufacturing places, each 1 gigawatt, which we are filling up heavily at the moment. So that's one thing, reducing capital cost.
Yes.
And optimizing operational cost. We are looking daily into 6 million stacks. We're looking daily into 30 million modelers and have a digital twin, which we built. And that digital twin combined with artificial intelligence helps us to really monitor and improves the performance. So we really can, when we talk about predictive maintenance, when we talk about serviceability, we know what happens, but not since yesterday, since a decade.
Yes, sure. This is huge, and we're talking like the numbers are staggering, which is actually amazing. I was not aware of this. So let's talk about now in terms of materials supply and access. So can you talk about a few words on this?
Of course, in the last couple of months, we have challenges in regards to copper, lithium, and things like that. It's no question about it. Everybody has this. I think we have done a lot in order to secure our fuel cell manufacturing capabilities. And since we are doing this since quite a long and ramping up our factories, we are in good shape. Yes, this year we will be not able to pass the complete cost reduction down because we have price increases in certain segments, which are astronomical. But no price increase is still a big number. So we're pretty happy that we can say that from next year on, we will continue with the normal cost degradation.
Very good, very good. So you mentioned about really, those millions of module stacks, etc. And obviously, we need to have gigafactories more or less all over the world. So what are your plans on this?
Well, our plans are very specific. I think, as a typical American company, and I have a little bit of experience with American companies. You see, yes, we are global. Yes, we want to be global, but we still have to be focused on the key markets. And we believe that the North American market is a fantastic market. We have great partnership in Korea, and now we are trying to conquer Europe. We are focusing on a couple of countries in Europe at the moment, but we're seeing, of course, projects all over the place. As you know, we need inexpensive feedstock in regards to cheap energy costs. And that's nothing we can supply so easily in Germany, as you guys know. I think there are countries such as Spain and Portugal, for example, who have more sun, as we all know, than we have in Germany. Nevertheless, I think we see here some large projects due to the fact that there are certain, due to the energy transition, there are certain large projects available where infrastructure is already existing. So when you close a nuclear power plant down, you have the entire infrastructure already existing. And if this is close to the North Sea, you have access to rather cheap and inexpensive renewable energy. So some of these projects we like to focus. Again, I have to stress this. We will not sell alone. We need a partner for the rest of the balance plant. We are focusing on our fuel cell because that's the core. And the partner combined with our technology will win the entire project in order to be successful there. So Germany is definitely a key market for us. Italy, England, and France are countries which we also look. It depends a little bit, as you know, the entire energy market is a subsidized market. So guys, let's not spend too much time here. We have to ask our politicians what is on their mind. So that's the reason why I'm one of these days always in Berlin. You have to ask, what happens. And I think that is fair to say. There is a lot of European activity in the hydrogen market. Let's see. We definitely would like to be part of the transition here.
Yes, great. It's fascinating. Just a last question really for you, Stefan. If you were to bet on the next 5 years, okay, let's say the 2030 target. Let's say, do you think honestly that we will reach that? That target of 2030, or even 2050 of decarbonization?
You see, at first, even if we fail by a year or two, it's a big achievement. And this is environmental, it is even a greater achievement. And we have to be fair. I think we all came in a rather stable environment. And at the moment, we just learned that energy policy is security policy. Yes. And in Germany, unfortunately, we forgot that over the last couple of years. Yes. And that has to be changed. And now the priority from being zero emission is now, how do I secure my market? And yes. Germany doesn't have a lot of resources. We have a little bit lignite in certain areas in Germany, big pressure on it. But having said that, I think this combination will definitely bring some challenges. Will we be in 2030? I will be happy if it will be 2033. I think as long that everybody, and particularly the politicians, are understanding that it will be a challenge for everybody. When you try to sell a wind turbine in my neighborhood, you know, there's a lot of people who are raising their hand and say, I don't want to have it in my neighborhood. We have a problem yes. with this. So we have to step as a society in and say, yes, we all together want to challenge it. And I think there's a good time now because we have on several avenues stress, which maybe makes a couple of people think more how we really can achieve this energy transition. We're in the middle of it. Sure. I don't think that Germany will be a blueprint for the rest of the world because it's a very expensive and undertaking. But yes. I think there's a lot of things being learned from Germany, and we're very serious.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, actually, Stefan, on this. Completely agree. Perhaps, Bernd, you want to ask one or two questions before we finish?
I think we are through. I think we can now say goodbye, I think. So I think we have talked all the very cool topics, very interesting things, or many things I even didn't know so far, actually. That was very impressive, Stefan, what you have told us here, actually. And I think then we can call it a day. And thank you very much for you.
Thank you, yes.
To both of you, help us to promote FOFC and FOFT technology. I think, you know, this is the most effective and efficient technology on the market. We have a great reference. We like to share it. We like to do it with partners. And sure. we're here to help to speed up the energy transition.
You shall hear from me again, Stefan.
Anytime. Call me.
We will meet you on the conference, Stefan, December 7, 8 in Berlin.
Absolutely. You know, more than happy if there's a panel to share on it. And, you know, let's rock the boat.
Yes.
We're going to do. Great. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Great, guys. Bye-bye. Good talking to you.
Likewise. Bye.